Greetings, greetings. How's everyone doing? Welcome back to AM Dynasty, the podcast. Hope everybody's having a great, great, great start to the springtime here. Appreciate having you here this time and every time you listen ears, whether you listen on Apple Radio, Spotify, and the multitude of audio platforms that we are featured on. Appreciate having you here. Join us again for another AM Dynasty, the podcast. We are here with our exceptional one and only co-host, Big Cuz. What's up? Say what's up, Big Cuz.
Good morning, everyone.
Yes, sir. And we're going to be having a lightweight discussion that won't last too long. But we want to address a couple of subjects that we thought of that might be an interesting topic for the day. I hooked up with Big Cuz today, and we got to having a, you know, me and Big Cuz, obviously, we go way, way back to almost another life. We were just actually having a conversation this morning about, we were talking about, you know, we grew up kind of wild back in those days, and we were just kind of talking about some of the people we knew, some of the people that fell off. And we were basically, I guess, talking about addiction and addictive personalities. We got to talking about people we knew that fell off on drugs and people who have addictive personalities and nature, and just thought, you know what, that the conversation was going pretty long, and we're like, you know what, maybe we'll just talk about that today. Maybe that conversation could probably help some people. So I don't really know how you want to start, but we were basically talking about how drugs and addiction can affect your life in a negative way. Because one thing Big Cuz and I were talking about, we've known each other for so long, and said, man, you know, we used to run around back in the day and we played a lot of sports. We were very active, and we knew a lot of people that were addicted to drugs. And one thing that I was telling Big Cuz, I was like, I always wondered when I was younger if I would ever fall off like that, get caught up in the drugs, because I was one known to not ever do any drugs, you know, at one time. And then I never did any hard drugs ever, even to this day. But we were talking about a lot of how different people fall off from drugs, whether it be men. Sometimes men get tricked into doing drugs by women, and then they become turned out and addicted. And of course, how that happens the other way around sometimes, probably a lot more. Women get turned out and tricked into doing drugs by men, and they are far gone, never to return or to return back to real life two, 3 decades later. And we were just talking about, man, I'm really grateful and feel fortunate that I never did fall off like that, to get turned out into the drugs and have to come back to my regular self sometime later in life, or not at all, just far, far gone. I'm glad that didn't happen to me. So what you got to say about that? What do you think about
that?
Well,
I was just thinking that, you know, as we talk about just being lucky in life, not making any mistakes, because I feel like with certain drugs, it would take one opportunity to you know, try something, and it might change the trajectory of your life. You know, I just feel like luckily I was able to navigate that. I've had many opportunities, and I've been offered many a line or smoke, of just from me being a young drug dealer, being young, chasing money. I spent countless hours in crack houses, on crack spots, being around people using drugs, even at the highest levels, going around my connections and my plugs and them utilizing it and offering it to me. And I always knew that wasn't something I wanted for myself, because of both my parents were users. And I've spent, you know, one thing about my mom, she never hid it from me. So I watched her use drugs. I've been in the room with her and other people. I was kind of like a fly on the wall, because I was young and I knew how to be quiet and I knew how to stay out of the way, as when I grew up, where children were to be seen, right, and not heard. Mm-hmm. And so it was easy for me to be in a room and just observe. And I just knew that wasn't something that I wanted. Like, I saw how drugs, when you use them, how you change, how paranoia would happen, how just just the things that they were going through. And as I got older and my life changed and my mom died when I was really young and I had to start getting in the streets and I started selling drugs, I took those lessons with me. And as I navigated the streets, I always remembered that, you know, that's not something that I wanted. And over the years, you know, we grew up with people, the people who were dibbling and dabbling, you know, at this age right now, a lot of those people still haven't recovered from those choices they were making as young people. And so I'm just happy in my life that I never made a mistake, because, you know, heroin, methamphetamines, cocaine, a lot of those drugs are drugs that one time you use it and your life will change. You become addicted to that in a way where it bonds to your DNA and then it becomes part of you. And as I say, that's where the disease grows. Because there are people who can don't have that part of, they don't have an addictive personality. So they are able to use drugs once a week, party, go back to work. And but then there's those other ones that, like, I've, you know, been. And so, you know, what's interesting about it is how I actually learned how to get the other side of it was I got caught a case. And I never was forced to sit down in a room and have to confront my part of the whole drug diaspora.
Yes.
Meaning I had influence, and I didn't realize I was addicted to selling drugs and making money until I went to a drug treatment program because I caught a case. Of course, I had a lawyer and all the stuff, and we played it by saying I was a user, so I had to go to drug court, I had to go to drug treatments, you know.
So you took the classes.
So I took the classes.
The classes, yeah.
I had 3 classes a week for 2 years.
Put the mirror up to yourself.
And I had to, because if not, then I would, my freedom was on the line. And so, you know, of course, so I had to go do these classes, and I had to go sit and listen to all of the dope fiend stories that I never cared about.
That's
to listen.
That's exactly correct.
Because I was so
arrogant
in my hustle. And then also, I just was so callous in my mentality. I didn't care about the kids. I didn't care about the children.
Contribution, messing up the computer.
I didn't care about whether you're paying your rent or your bills or if your car was going to get towed or you were going to evict it. I would walk in your house, sell your drugs to you, get my money and leave. And then on top of it, I'm looking around your house plotting on shit that I'm about to buy from you later on that night when you run out of money. And that's just, and it's just terrible. And but it was the truth.
Okay, stop. Let me just say this real quick. Big Cuz is a big dude. Because I'm just going to share it. Just, I'm not going to even open the can. Or I'm just going to say, this sounds like a lot, but it's so limited. Big Cuz is it's the reason why we call him Big Cuz. The size of this dude and the personality, the chip that he used to have on his shoulder. Big Cuz just shared something with the audience. We're making this podcast. I'm going to try to be real brief. We're making this podcast to try to help somebody. To try to give back from a lot of the things that was taken from the community. Now is the time of life to try trying to give back to the community, especially those younger than us. Okay, Big Cuz just shared with us how he lost his mom at a young age. You know what I mean? That's, as you can imagine, extremely traumatic for anybody. And that left a chip on this guy's shoulder growing up. Once again, it's a big dude. So, you know, the era that we grew up in, let's just say, a lot of things happen. A lot of them. You run around, as you can know, you look at any young person nowadays that got to deal with any hood issues. You're in the hood. You're running around doing things fast. You have this type of pain and hurt inside you where you can just basically like putting a bomb on yourself and you're ready for all smoke everywhere. That's a dangerous concoction going on, especially from a youth who got all the energy in the world and just looking for somewhere to focus to take that energy out on. So I just want to put that in kind of in perspective.
Yeah. And so just to continue what I was saying, it just was interesting that I never got to look at that until confronted with the other side of it, and I was able to re-examine myself and see my role in it all. And right after that, shortly after that, I had a situation with a family member, and I just decided that, you know, that wasn't the life that I wanted to lead. But it's just the point that I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that it was interesting just to go through that journey and not recognize the other side of it. So that was interesting. I'm just so glad that I made it through all of that to get to this point, because, you know, it's funny, I look back at it now, all the shit that we went through, it was kind of like, man, it's actually, for all of us to make it out, almost everybody in our crew,
yeah,
made it out to the other side, grown man, have families, or if not family, doing well for themselves, having businesses, just, you know, taking care of business, being grown men, mm-hmm. and being solid members of the community, it's just, you know, that was just part of my life. It helped, you know, helps the drug culture unfortunately helped shape a large portion of my life.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people from our crew, like yourself, I know myself, my family come from real good stock. There's a lot of people that love and cared about us, a lot of close calls, and of course, there's just fortunate, because things have happened to a lot better, unfortunate things have happened to a lot better people than me. Bad things have happened, so we're just fortunate. But I say, as far as the part that we can kind of control, even in an era and a time of being irresponsible, we were all basically generally good guys. So fortunate that a lot of us in our inner circle as a group did make it out of that time period. But I will say, you know, of course, with scars, bearing scars, physical and mental. But bottom line is a lot of people got came out of it. Some people didn't come out of it. Some people came out of it a whole lot worse. And what I will say, the reason for this, especially when you're young and you think you're invincible, is that, man, the impact that drugs and even having an addictive personality will take. Speaking of addictive personality, I have an addictive personality. Very much so. You know what I mean? Used to be really high energy. And one thing I knew about myself from a younger age is that I can't be just doing it everything, because whatever I do, I'm going to go overboard with it.
I can agree with that. It's just like, what are you addicted? Like, for me, I do have like different little, we all have our habits and addictions. My problem, so be honest with you, and it's all on the same level, is sugar.
Right.
And I'm addicted to sugar. That's why I'm a diabetic. I'm addicted to sugar. It's hard for me. That's my struggle in life. Mm-hmm. It's sugar. Like, right. I probably go through the same things that other people go through with drugs, hardcore drugs.
You can relate.
Sugar.
You can relate.
I can relate. Like, late at night, I'm like, I'm a fiend.
Yes,
I'm
sir.
Looking for something sweet in the house, going through the cabinets. So I still think the mentality is the same. It's just, you know, whatever.
The different vices.
My vice is legal, and they sell it in pounds at the store, which is even terrible.
Yes.
Because I'm addicted to a class one drug that's fully legal.
Yes, sir.
Sugar is a class one drug. It's just as addictive, they've shown it. It's as addictive as cocaine or heroin or any other substance, and they just freely give it to you. So I would agree. I think we all have the proclivity to be addictive.
Yeah.
It just depends on what it is. What is your brain hardwired to be addicted to?
Yes.
Right? But you've always been a high energy, high strung guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I try to stay away from the hard drugs, which I did. But the thing I think that you and I were talking about from our various exciting, you call it excitement. Trust me, I don't want to see none of that type of yet. Anyway, I don't want to see.
Oh, no, I'm thinking like, where the hell did I get this? In my
I don't. Car, I don't want to see none of that. None of those exciting times. I want a different type of excitement nowadays, or probably even what you would say, no excitement, because I don't want no negative energy around me. But I just think from back then, you know, some of the, we had our, it was times where, even we were just talking earlier, how you were saying somehow some people almost tried to trick you to taking drugs. Because what we were talking about is how, and like I said earlier, it's interesting because you'll see, I think a lot of times, the majority of times, first of all, it's just like domestic violence. It's who's close to you. It's not a black on black crime or white on white crime. Look, it's just whoever the hell is close to you, okay? So, you know, it's the same thing with the drugs. A lot of times, from what I've seen, people get turned out from men. More men get turned out from women. More women get turned out from men. You know what I mean? With their devious type natures and what they want. But go ahead, you want to jump in and say something? So I think that those are the type of things that I'm glad that I didn't get, whether trick, nobody slipped me something, or somebody who offers something, even if it's a chick, like, hey, you're at the party, we're just doing this. That's one thing. I never too much fell for peer pressure. You know, I've never too much been one to fall for peer pressure at all. So that's not, you're not gonna get me to do something just to be a follower, that type of thing. However, there have been times and close calls where, you know, things could have happened. Even when I used to smoke marijuana back in the day, I didn't never smoke anything that was like rules we had. And those were like rules, I think, from a certain time period back in the day. You didn't smoke something. If you went around areas that you're not familiar with, people you're not familiar with, you wouldn't just be smoking what was passed around. You wouldn't just be, and nowadays, they don't just drink. You're not gonna be at the club. You don't, you know, you leave your drink for a second, that drink is over with. You don't want it anymore. You know what I mean? But
you do have to check your energy and mix company. As I was telling you earlier, before we even started the podcast, I had somebody try to pass me laced joints. Now, I never smoked cigarettes, so that wasn't an issue. Somebody trying to smoke, pass me a laced cigarette, but I've definitely had someone try to pass me a laced joint with Grimmy. Maybe some Grimmy or a Cavi.
Cavi, 1990.
Just so for you younger people who don't know, a Grimmy a cigarette with cocaine in it, and then a Cavi is weed with cocaine in it. Uh-huh. And so I've had someone try to pass me a Cavi before a couple times. And then if you know Frisco niggas smoke Chewies, which is blunts with weed and coke in it. And I never smoked any of that shit, but I've had people try to pass it to me. I've had people fire up shit in mixed company. The good thing was, that's where the one time my years of being a drug dealer served me well, because I know it burnt cocaine smells like.
What is this sweet?
And I know how it burns and how it crackles and all this stuff. So a couple times I was able to thwart someone's attempt to turn me into a crackhead. Unbeknownst to me. You know what I mean?
If I get this big guy.
Oh, man. And I'm just saying, so lucky, because what if I would have just, like I told you, like I had a pocket full of dope. So what if somebody would have passed me that, next thing I know, I start tweaking.
Be Debo.
And now I'm smoking in the chicken coop. Fucking high off whatever the fuck. You know what I'm saying? So, man. Yeah, just so happy to be able to navigate all those things and just make it out that life, man.
Life is hard enough than to try to have to pick your face off the ground from being addicted to drugs. And the thing is, what's cool about it is it a lot of times it would happen to people that's like young adults. So by the time you finally make it out of, it's like, when you finish being a teenager and you become a young adult, some people go right into having families. You know what I mean? I know a lot of people who, right from teenagers, they have families. And then as they become empty nesters, they're like, man, I went from being a kid to having a kid. This is the first time where I get to kind of figure out who the hell am I at this point in life, where it's just like, it's just me now, or just you and your mate. Without being a kid, without having a child, now you got to figure out who you are. Never really had that time. So to see somebody that goes straight from being a child, now you're a young adult, you can't really even enjoy being a young adult, you get straight up caught in the drugs. You know, and you know, being from the Bay Area, us out here, met so many people that have recovered, the fortunate few that have kicked the addiction. You know what I mean? Go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking as you were talking, I thought of two names from our childhood. Two excellent names that we're going to discuss right quick. So, I'll start with Harry. You remember young Harry? The one who was smoking on the under?
Of course.
Prima was dating.
Exactly.
That was hanging around us, and we didn't know he was a closet.
Yes, he was a closet smoker.
And we were teenagers. The whole time, and we didn't know no better. We putting dope on this dude. Like, here, go sell this, hold this shit for us, go do this with us, not knowing
he was doing
that we
stuff.
Was just putting him in.
Yeah.
We had him. He was a kid in the candy store, but we didn't even know, and we had no idea because wasn't nobody around us using drugs, so we never even thought like this is a possibility for a young, upwardly mobile dude trying to get money, hanging around a crew where you're dealing with all the major players in one particular city that are all hanging around each other, and we got this one dude, we just leaving him at the house with just massive supply of drugs. It's like, here, you sit here, don't worry about it. And can you imagine just being that dude? And then I think about him, and then, you know, we start giving him counts, and stuff start getting messed up, and he stole some shit from us. And then I remember being angry, like, bro, this dude just fucked off my count, about to beat this motherfucker ass. And I remember running up on him, about to just put it on him, and I was about to hit him, and I just seen the pain in his eyes, and I just realized that he was in enough turmoil.
You know,
he didn't need me to add to it.
You're one of those. Oh my God! See, you're the walking zombie.
I seen the contrition in his eyes when we brought it to him. Like, bro, what's happening with you, bro? And he just had to break down. Like, bro, I'm smoking, bro. And it was just kind of like, oh my God. And then us being in the culture, we didn't understand the support that man needed. We was like, oh, you're a pariah.
You're a pariah.
Fucking crackhead.
You're a zombie.
And we're a zombie. You're like the walking dead.
You're
Dracula. And we skated on him, and I wonder what happened to that dude. That's one of the reasons why I wonder, was he able to rectify his life? Was he able to redeem himself? Did he stay in that life? Because we jettisoned him and never circled back for him. We didn't circle the wagons.
No.
Which we should have circled the wagons around him, but we didn't. We were like, oh, you're not built for the journey. You about to get left behind. Yeah. And we,
man,
you know, it's either get on or get rolled over.
Yeah.
And I just think about that. Like, I wonder what happened to poor Harry.
Yeah.
So I would like to, you know, on air, apologize for my role and all of that, because I was too young to understand what was going on. But like I said, as I've got older and got in that, had to be forced to sit in that program, never used drugs in my life, and I had to just sit there and be a fly on the wall and listen to all the crackhead stories and realize my role in it all. Like, I was helping to destroy families. Another person I bring up is Sonic. So we had a friend named Sonic, and we grew up, like I just said, we were all upwardly mobile dealers hanging around each other from all different walks of life around the city, and our crew was a crew that shouldn't have existed. We were all from different crews, rival factions, different stuff, but for whatever reason, we were friends, and our friendship outweighed all of that stuff, and we made other people in the city respect, like, even the areas that we came from, like, why are you dudes together? Because that's my partner, don't say nothing else about it, and that's it. And if you don't like it, it's either kind of that mentality, get down or lay down. We wasn't waiting for you to accept that shit. We was gonna force feed that shit. We together, that's what it is. And we had Sonic around us, and everybody kept taking these losses. I think he stole your gun, stealing dope from Nassim, stealing money, all these different things kept happening. We were so loyal to each other that we decided, we just made up this backroom bandit. We got a bandit that's coming in the back, stealing shit. We didn't know who it was.
First of all.
You did, though. So I'll be honest with you.
I always did.
So the whole entire time, you were like, it's Sonic. And Nassim was like, no, it's not Sonic.
I knew what everybody
You know what I'm saying? Because we could never understand.
I didn't trust
somebody our age could be thinking like that, and then on top of it, be about that shit. And so, but he wasn't never stealing from me, because I wasn't ever loose like that, because I wasn't laying my head and just leaving shit around. I kept everything on my person, in my car, all the shit.
Oh, let me just say this real quick. We had a, how do we want to say this? We had a location, a private location And I mean, it was secure. It was private. Well, I don't know about secure, but it was a private location where we had...
But only us knew.
Only us knew. We had a meetup spot. It was like for teenagers making money. I don't know how I can really explain this, but we had like a clubhouse.
It was the Honeycomb Hideout.
It was the Honeycomb Hideout that was strictly for the crew.
And it was strictly for the crew. You could go over there, bust your shit up, get your money, talk about your knot.
This thing had a hammock, indoor hammock.
Yeah.
Inside the location.
It was a round spot. All we sat over there was playing video games and busted knocks all day. And everybody had their own little thing. We came and went all day long. And it was like hub central for young drug dealers. It was crazy. And we had this dude that was around us, and we didn't know what was going on. And long story short, a lot of stuff was coming up missing. And we figured out that it was him. And when we confronted him, it came out that he was using drugs. Same thing as Harry. And we did the same thing to him, because back then it wasn't cool to use drugs. So we kicked him to
just
the wayside.
No. Just say no.
And what ended up happening is, we feel as though, can't prove it to this day, it's alleged that one night we were over there at the spot that we told you about. I left, went home really, really late that night. I had a strap the whole shit. I was kind of known to be strapped back in those days. So I think that the people who were going to... Because basically what ended up happening is a couple of the homies got robbed over there, and really damaged because the assailants basically, in a way, kidnapped those dudes, tied them up, and then...
Hold on, break it down, because I don't think you're not really articulating the way that people can understand, so articulate a little bit better.
Okay, so basically, we were hanging out one night, and I ended up leaving on my way going home, and then after I left, a group of assailants came and broke into the spot while the two of the homies were there,
exactly.
Robbed them,
exactly.
Beat them, tortured them, basically,
exactly.
Stole what little drugs were there, and to this day, both of those dudes are physically and emotionally scarred and will never probably be the same
100%
because of what happened that day. And we still, to this day, believe that that guy, Sonic, because he's the only one that knew outside of our crew
what was going on,
where stuff
go,
was,
got what,
where to go,
who's
who
doing
had what.
What.
And all of the assailants were saying all of this pertinent information that they only could have gotten from an insider.
Right, one of us.
So long story short,
we knew that none of us did.
Yeah, we always felt like that
guy was on the end, but on the out. Who knew it all, but wasn't what was on the
end? We always felt as though that guy knew what happened and that he was responsible, but we never came back across him. But, you know, one thing about life is, sometimes in life, you don't have to get back at the people who do things to you.
Woo.
You let karma,
woo,
and, as we said, God, or whatever,
wow,
you believe in. I'm a spiritual person, not necessarily,
wow,
a religious person. So, whatever you put it on, whether,
yeah,
it be the universe, the powers that be,
yeah,
God,
Lord,
whatever,
yeah,
power, whatever rules your life that,
yes,
you put every, you know, you put everything into,
man,
that, you know, and then we didn't have to do anything to that guy. And, you know, the world has a way of evening, balancing things out. And so months later, that guy was found on the side of a freeway off in Emeryville, off Powell. Somebody threw a jettisoned his body on the side of the freeway, and he was found beaten to death, to be quite honest.
I thought it was on train tracks, wasn't it?
No, it was off right off Powell. They threw him on the exit. You know, you get off on Emeryville right there, they threw him right on the exit right there. That's where they found this body. And it's just terrible that he lived his life like that. And then it was funny because as we were around him that whole entire time, we saw glimpses of who he was, the stuff that he was doing, the way he treated his own friends. He was just a terrible person. But I still feel,
you know, what's
bad
funny
for him.
Hold on, one
though
thing about it too, he wasn't a hustler. He had a regular job. He,
yeah,
would go to work. He was just a working kind of, but he was a horrible guy. But I'm saying, he was hanging around a bunch of dudes. We're all teenagers.
But he was a hater.
He was a hater.
He hated us because we was getting money and,
exactly,
he wasn't. We had all the shit that he wanted to be. He couldn't. But the reason why you couldn't is because you were addicted to drugs, and we didn't know that. You were hiding it from us. And because you were addicted to drugs, you were looking at, you had animosity and hatred towards us, and we didn't see it though, and all we had was love for you, or for him, and it was just sad that that his life played out like that, and I still have to blame it. I have to, when I look at what it was, of course he had personality flaws, but how much of it was shaped by his drug usage? And the cold part about it is, how was he hiding that from us? Because he was definitely using drugs. He was definitely stealing from us the whole entire time.
The whole time.
And he was like, he was getting, you know, he was hiding from us and getting away from us. So
then his brothers basically thought that we'd done it and it was going to be some problems. Yeah, you don't even know if you remember that.
I remember.
But anyway, that's a whole other story.
Yeah, no, well, people obviously, because everyone knew he was openly accused of stealing from us. He got kicked out of our crew. So, of course, it was like a movie scene where people come back like, y'all did it, and we actually didn't. Because we did consider him friend. I don't know. One thing about me, if you're my friend, I consider you my friend, and you betray me. If I ever consider you friend, because you were considered my friend, I'm going to give you a pass. Because I just
let you
as
go.
A friend,
just let you go.
I just don't ever want to have any type of that. Yeah. With you,
right?
It's easy. I can let that go. Right. Like, it's just not worth it, and I just, you know, just wish you well, pray for you, and keep it moving.
Again, I will say this: things like that. These is all learning lessons that shaped
who we are now. Definitely.
Like even when you said, what's funny is that happened to me so many times in life, as in being wronged and being wronged, and like I really want to take this in my own hands and do something that's going to stick with me forever. And the fact that it takes a lot of willpower to not let my mind and my energies and my time go that way to start.
To me, because to me, like what you're saying is, that's when you're showing the power. That's when you're showing the strength. Restraint is the power. Mm-hmm. Restraint is what we should respect. Mm-hmm. Not the, I went out and just, you know, I avenged myself and I put my own shit on the line, because at the end of the day, it's like, okay, all of these things happened. This dude did all this stuff. Now I'm going to, in order to get retribution, I'm going to ruin my life. Basically. I'm going to put my own shit on the line in order to make the streets respect what's going on. You know, streets is talking, I got to answer. You have that mentality in the streets where you, it makes you feel like I have to react. Right. I have to retaliate. Well,
it can't go unpunished.
And I'm just glad that I never let, because that's where people control you. When you let other people control your actions based on what they're doing.
Being a follower. But the thing that I was going to say is, it's so interesting because a lot of times I learned that, man, payback came without me having to come off my throne. I was able to still, go ahead.
No, that's true. I agree. Everybody who's ever done something to me that I wanted to do something to them and I let it go, because not because I couldn't have done nothing to them, but because I had too much to lose. I got a wife, I got a family, I got kids. Once I had a child, it wasn't about me anymore. It became about my kids. So things that happened to me, if I feel like it could come back on my family or harm me or have me not available for my family, then it's not worth it. And that's how, those are the guidelines that I've had to live my life for, and it's gotten me to this point.
I think it's interesting from the standpoint of, I'm just really, as we're talking, I'm really visualizing before you had all that.
The person I was.
The person that you was.
But I had to change. When I had my son that day that I had my child, it's like an epiphany. I had to change. There wasn't, because I'm holding this kid, he's looking at me like, you're everything, and without you, I'm nothing. And if you're not here, and I'm never going to leave my kids. I'm shaping my children.
You don't leave me out here.
I'm shaping my children to be to be people. And it's like, if I'm not here, what form are you going to take if I'm not helping shape
you? You already know what form the world
So that was one of the best things that happened to me, was being young and having a kid young. It seemed like it was crazy at the time, but it was what I needed. That little child changed my life and made me think differently. It made me think on a different level beyond myself. So, like I said, just necessary things that necessarily had to happen.
We just sharing a tidbit of what could be
a movie podcast. We can do a crime show. I can do a crime documentary. We can do a fucking podcast.
No,
it can
I'm not copping to anything that I will say is just for whatever I did. I'm not saying I did anything.
It's all alleged.
But I definitely, it's payback time to now give back to the community. When I look at the community now, at Oakland right now, and the Bay Area, the East Bay, and the Bay Area, I actually feel like for me at this point, like, it's definitely important for me to give back. I feel like I've taken, and even people that I know, I got friends that's doing life right now, and I feel like, damn, I was in the situation and the standpoint to be a leader, and I contributed negatively to people. And so I feel like, in a hell of ways, in hella people, you know, so I feel like this is a time of life to try to, as much as I can do, in whatever way I can do, is to give back.
So I feel a little differently. I feel like, right or wrong, this is what happened, that these are the things that were necessary to shape who we are. So I don't really regret any of the stuff that I did. Could I have done better? Sure. Could I have made better choices? Absolutely. Could I have better advice? Could I have better mentors? Could I have better advisors? The problem was, what we're talking about is the crack cocaine epidemic robbed us of those people who should have been helping us shape our lives, but because of that, they weren't available to us. So we were men.
We were young men raising each other.
The only person you had to provide check and balance was me and your friend. The other friends we was hanging around to. Same thing for me. You guys were the only people providing checks and balance for me at that time. And so, I mean, at the end of the day, it's almost like, what do you fucking expect from us based on the circumstances that we came from? The fact that we got what we got out of it and got to where we are, I feel like is a testament really to us as young men, because we just didn't have the guidance, and it wasn't for certain people in our lives, like Nassim's mom being there at a certain time, just started providing a place for us to be okay. So I feel like that was all part of the journey. I wouldn't be who I am, and also I wouldn't be as relatable as I am to certain people if I wouldn't have been all those things, and I wouldn't have been able to go through all these things. That's what allows me to talk to different people in different walks of life, where I can talk to a CEO and I can talk to a crackhead right there on the corner, because I've lived all those lives. I mean, I've done all those things. My life experience, it spans that.
Right.
And so I do feel like that at the age that I am, we're supposed to be a resource. Yeah. So that's what I'm striving to be for young people. I want to be able to be a resource. I ain't trying to be the uncle or the grandfather with bad credit, living on a fucking SSI check I can't do shit for you,
sir,
because I'm sitting up here trying to job the game, the game, instead of getting what I'm supposed to get out of life and building what I'm supposed to, because I'm not building for myself. I'm building from what comes behind me. And so that's why I need to be in a position of power and prominence, not because I seek that for myself, but because I seek that for the others to come behind me. And I'm trying to create a solid foundation for which my people can stand on. And not just my family. I look at the community as a whole. Like, that's how I look at it. So I'm not saying that what you're saying is wrong. I'm just saying that how I look at it, I don't really feel like, based on, because, you know, my mom died when I was 17. I didn't have a whole bunch of options on the table for me. So it was like, I did what I knew. There were people in my life that could have came and shown me a different way, could have took time out their schedule to help shape me and mold me. And I was very harsh. Hard-headed.
Yeah.
I was cock strong.
Yeah.
I was fucking
wild.
I was angry. There was a lot of shit about me that I could see why a person would be like, he ain't worth the trouble. But, and so, however I got it and how it came out, I mean, I'm just lucky that I didn't take any lives when I was coming up. There were plenty of opportunities where circumstance dictated reaction and I didn't fall for it. And in some cases, in that moment, I felt weak about certain shit because I'm like, oh, I should go over here because the streets say I should. But then I'm like, no, because my other part of me is saying, you know what? You have too much to lose. You got, if you go do this, then what happens if this happens? Then, okay, yeah, I can't do that. So I had to just take a step back. But now that I'm older and I'm able to look at that, I can say, you know what? Oh my God, I'm so happy that I took that path of least resistance, because had I not, who knows where I would be at right now.
Right now, you got what you got. Yeah. And they got what they... That was my point. They got what they got. A lot of stuff where situations that wasn't cool, been wrong. I can't count the number of times where people got what they deserved. It's almost like amazing. And it really is. It's something in the air. It's something in the universe. It's something on the planet. Yeah. It's something in the laws of nature. You know, because one thing I never wanted to give that I always tried to keep out here is I didn't want nobody to ever change me to where it's just like, I don't know, my heart, where I just turned like heartless.
Yeah, see, that's the key. That's why I always think that even though we were doing what we were doing, we always still had a certain level of compassion based on the way we were raised. So we were raised the right way. We had the bones of it. The foundation was good. Sometimes people have bad foundations. It's like, a lot of times, though, one thing I learned through my travels and being around people, being a coach, really I learned this a lot being a coach, that a lot of times when you look back at people and their environments, a lot of it is like, how could you have been any other way based on where you came from and what you was exposed to? Like, sometimes we expect too much of people based on their circumstance. Like, when you go back and look like, oh, mom was doing this, daddy was doing this, you were doing, wasn't nobody paying attention to you? Of course you're like that. Right. It makes fucking perfect sense that this is how you turned out. And one thing I was going to mention to tie into what you were saying is I am so happy that I never retaliated against anyone who did anything wrong to me, because for the most part, anyone who ever did anyone thing to me that I felt like I needed to retaliate with force, excuse me, those people all met their fate.
Yes, they did.
Whether it be a demise or otherwise, without me having to be involved, their lifestyle dictated what was going to happen to them, and I didn't have to react. Even though I was a victim of what happened to them, that was a learning lesson for me to tighten my shit up. It wasn't for me to go and retaliate and be the person that was gonna give them their punishment. That's not our role. Our job is to leave that to the powers that be.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, and that's my message right now on this part of the podcast, that I guarantee you, all the people who have ever wronged you, you don't have to be the person that makes it even. The universe, powers that be, whomever you believe in, it'll all even out. I promise
you. What I'm saying is even deeper than that. As I moved on through life and went through a lot of things, I began to expect that. Look out for that. Like, you're gonna get yours. You're gonna, like, I was like almost like Steph Curry calling the shot, shoot the shot, and turn the other way, because I seen that happen so many. I mean, in my own personal life, like, you gonna get yours. You're wrong. I could get at you. Oh, here's the opportunity. Well, I can get at you. I know some people. I see situations. I see openings right here, and it's like, what you wanna do? And it's just like, you know what? I'm not going to do nothing. Let that be. Even on stuff that's less, has not much to do with life or death, as much as just payback. You know what I mean? And I let that ride. And it's funny, because every time I let that ride, you know, of course, nobody put their hands on me in them type of situations. But I'm just saying, certain things have happened in life. But it's certain, the more I let stuff ride, I was actually, even before the shot went in, or they got theirs, I was able to. So if you practice this, you'll feel a certain way about yourself. If you practice restraint to a certain degree, you'll start to feel a certain way about yourself, especially when you practice restraint and out of the blue you find out some information how this person got theirs. It'll start to calcify and build a certain type of energy, and a thought, your thought process will grow stronger a certain type of way. I can't really put words on it, but the more you practice restraint, from actually going to the gutter, getting off your throne and go down in the gutter and play in the trash and the filth, your character will build a certain way, and that's one action, and then a reaction of the trash actually getting tossed in the trash without you having to get your hands dirty actually will solidify a certain type of thought process, man. And I've seen that so many times.
Yeah.
It's just it's amazing some of the things you can learn in life, especially, like I said, if you're younger, you'll be surprised if you learn to kind of take this route. And I guess second of all, which is first of all, try to stay out the trash. Because if you know, if you play in the trash, then you know, guess what? You're gonna fall in some S, some excrement. You know what I mean? But
but when people do miserable things, realize they live in misery. So they're gonna stay in misery. So you let misery stay with misery and you move on and keep building.
There you go.
And guess what? At some point you build, and guess what? They down there, right. And you above the misery.
You're above the misery. And misery, what is it? Misery loves company.
And so, it will. Yes. People will drag you down into the muck.
But some of these bitter people are the one thing. Certain people, I was talking to a buddy of mine, some people in misery and wants some company. They need, it's like, look, I'd rather have some negative energy from you, some negative attention than no attention.
Energy is good energy. Whether good or bad, I just need energy because I'm devoid of it because I'm living in that darkness.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're in that darkness, energy can't permeate the darkness.
Yeah.
I need any type of energy. Any energy from you because you're light, I want that energy because you're shedding the light on the dark. Any energy I get from you. So a lot of these people, you just can't give me your energy. Just continue to build, man.
Stay away from time.
And, stay away from drugs, man. Yes. Opportunity. Because I noticed one thing about these youngsters, the whole just say no code. They don't remember none of that. That ain't even all. Like, it's so much things that we went through that my kids, just for instance, don't even know about. Like, what was it, something I was talking to my wife about, and we were mentioning it, and I was like, you know, it's funny that Brandon probably don't, my son is 29, he probably don't even know about that, and my daughter definitely doesn't know about it. It's just something I can't think of, it was yesterday we were talking, but anyway, my whole point is that there are things that we went through that because it was in our era. You know, things happen in era. These kids are oblivious to the whole 80s drug, what happened in the
80s. Pre-internet.
They don't know. So now I see them starting to...
Pre-social media.
To bring up and starting to do things that we've already put past us and that we solved those problems. And because they're new problems to them, relatively, they don't know how to navigate. Like, I see young people starting to snort cocaine. They're making... light of drug use. They're making it seem like using drugs is cool. With, you know, being on promethazine,
Molly,
and taking out mollies and Percocets and all these different drugs, and people are taking this shit and they're not realizing the mind altering, that every time you do these things, you're altering your mind in a way that your mind may not return to the state that it was in prior to you taking these drugs. And I've seen a lot of people take drugs, and not even on a, when I'm gonna leave this, because I actually have to, we're gonna have to wrap this up in a minute, but I've seen people use drugs and alter their mind to where they'll never be the same person ever again.
You know what I'll say is this, it's funny because I tell people this all the time. I say, you know, what drugs do, something that I like to call it, it's like messing with the clicker in your mind. So when you want to alter your moods naturally, I'm feeling angry and I want to feel better, you can naturally work on that to change your mood to a positive mind state. If you're feeling like, I wake up in the morning and I'm kind of sleepy, I want to kind of get up and get some energy so I can start my day. People take coffee and things like that, but you can actually do that in a natural way. The more you get off into wanting, hey, Saturday night, I need to party, and I can't party unless I mess with my clicker in my mind, if I change my mindset, my mood, by taking a drug. Well, the more you take drugs to alter your mood, instead of just altering your mood naturally, you're doing what I call, you're playing with the clicker in your brain. Because you become, as far as your power to alter your mood naturally, becomes less and less. It's harder to control your emotions and change your mood naturally if every time you want to change your mood, you got to take an upper to feel up. You got to take a downer to feel down. You got to take a sleeping pill to go to sleep. You got to take an exam. So then guess what? Now you take all that mind-altering stuff away that's binding with your molecular structure, and now you can't alter your mood by yourself anymore. You become, it's like the flower, you've taken all the bloom off the flower. You know what I mean? You can't naturally, organically do anything. You know what I mean? As far as altering your moods naturally. And now you're just like a shell of your natural self.
So, man, I have this going on my street right now. So, there's a little kid that grew up. Well, he's a kid to me. He's grown, though. He's like damn near 30 now. But it's a kid my son grew up with. So, my son is 29. There's a kid that lives across the street from me, down the street. Brent. I don't know if you remember the little white boy, Brent. Oh. From Daniel's friend. So, across the street, Jody and Rondell's house is here. Then
up the hill?
No, down the hill, on my street.
Got it.
So, you know where Jody and Rondell live? Yeah. So, you know Juanita's the lady that lives next door. You don't know.
I didn't know what you're talking about, but I don't know
the
other.
But then there's another house. There's a white family.
Got it.
And this kid who lived in that house grew up with all the kids on my street.
Right.
Right. So, we've been watching this kid grow up. I've been knowing him since he was like 7 years old.
Yeah.
Actually, even... I've been knowing him his whole entire life, to be honest with you, when he wasn't even born.
Yeah.
But he started living, his grandmother lived there. So he'd been growing up with his grandmother. I remember him basically as about 7. Mm-hmm. So anyway, he's been living there with his grandmother. His grandmother just died. And so he got the house and his mom moved back with him. Mm-hmm. And I watched this kid, he started using crystal meth.
Oh, shit.
I watched this kid in the last, since the pandemic started, because he was normal before the pandemic. I actually was thinking about hiring him because I was going to get a tow truck, and he had a license. I was like, oh, I can hire you to be a tow truck driver. Uh-huh. And he was completely...
Yeah, sane.
He was completely lucid. Mind was fine. And this man, over the course of the last 3 or 4 years, has literally used crystal meth, ice, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Chrissy,
yeah,
whatever, he's used this shit, and this man has gone completely out of his mind, to the point to where you can't talk to him, he's completely irrational, my daughter's scared of him, every time she sees him walking up down the street, she's like, Dad, that dude scares me, and he was a sweet, young, cool boy, like, I've known him his whole life, such a mannerable, nice young man, he's still mannerable, but he just... Yeah. Talking to himself, walking up and down the street. I just see him grabbing his head, rubbing his head. Look, his mind's about to explode. And they started, just over the last year, the police started going over this man's house. At least once, 2 to 3 times a week. So now it's gotten so bad that his family's kicked him out of the house. He got a restraining order. It's just going down. And it's just like, and this is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Using drugs too much to the point to where now... It has altered your brain.
Yeah.
And now he's never going to be the same person. Yeah. And I don't care if he even gets off drugs.
Yeah.
I don't see him returning
to
the person that he was because he has altered his mind so much just with his choices. Like, it's just crazy. And that just in itself. And, you know, just because we're talking about that. Right now, it's amazing that that's going on.
No, and we've seen that so much. It's funny to talk about that nowadays as we wrap this up, because that's what's been going on the whole time. That's what we grew up with, as far as you would see somebody, you would have people, our peers, certain peers. It's like, you know what? Whatever you're doing is going to show. In the course of 2 or 3 months, why are you selling your cars? Man, why are you starting to dress all dirty? Man, you're starting to look all... You're 19, you're starting to look worn down. Oh, man, who are you hanging out with?
Yeah,
you look old.
You look old.
Why are you hanging around with this chick right here who's a customer? Okay. Okay. And then 2 or 3 years, or not even a year, within the course of 1 year, instead of you having 4 or 5 cars and being the man, now you're walking up talking about double me up. Cause, and it's like, nope, you don't get those prices.
You ain't getting it done.
You ain't getting it.
You're trying to park the train like you a grinder. You're not a grinder anymore. You know?
So,
you get the good plug.
So, you know, with that, as we wrap this up, like I said, hey, man, this is about addiction and addictive personalities. You know, it's hard enough to have an addictive, high metabolism personality. Guess what? If you know that you have a super high metabolism and you have an addictive personality, you're the last one that need to be trying to do any drugs, any altering of mood changing drugs of your mind. Why don't you go exercise or something like that to try to put the bottle at You're off to a good start in life. You can live a good long life with that high, strong metabolism. Don't fall for peer pressure. So this message is just to whether you're grown, whether you're young, it's very relevant. Hey, check this out. We're in the Bay Area, the home of drug haven. At this point, if you've been out here for a number of decades, you got a PhD at all these drugs, classes, all the classes you could ever need through one way or the other, whether it comes to classes for drugs or just anger management anger management classes galore for people that's just, you know, this is just an area that's notorious for drugs and the effects of the other side. There's an underbelly to drugs and addictive behavior. There's an underbelly on the other side, other than on the top end, it's just party. On the other side of that is the effects.
Yeah, well, your lifestyle can support the party, but what happens when, like you're saying right now, we were just talking about a family member, we won't mention his name, but we have a family, even if it's just we have a family that's so destitute right now with the way he lives his life, but weed is so important that this man literally gives blood every other day to go and get weed. It's not like he's on cocaine or methamphetamine or heroin. This man is addicted mentally to marijuana. Like, it's a class one drug like any other thing. And it's because it's his mentality. It has nothing to do with what he's using. It's or what he's doing. It's the way he goes about doing it that creates that. So you could be addictive and have destructive behavior, and it doesn't have to be that you're doing something like that's really destructive, because there's that same person could be doing the same, because it's not the person, it's the personality. It's the flaw in your personality that's making you react and act that way and go overboard about that. It's just because the weed is just the vessel. It's not really the reasoning why you're doing
absolutely,
it.
Right? Absolutely. And I know so many exes and friends and people that just alcohol and it's funny that with drug addicts and people that use drugs every day, what they tell themselves. And I say, hey, when's the last time you went a day being sober? So if you're out there and you're listening to this podcast, ask yourself that. When's the last time you went a day being sober?
All the time.
You know what I mean?
Like when I had those kids, because it's when you have things that are more important than getting high. Like, I'm a foster parent, so I had some foster kids. So, yeah, I smoke weed. But guess what? Not every day.
Right.
I can't smoke weed every... Some days I have stuff to do. I enjoy smoking weed. But I got kids. Sometimes the kids, baby, they sick, they don't this, that. All kind of different things happen that I just are more important than getting high. So getting high is a relaxation thing for me. It's not something I have to do, I want. It's something I enjoy doing when I have time to do it. Yeah. It's not something that dictates or runs my life. I don't have to do things. Then I just...
In moderation.
It's everything in moderation. But that's just my point, though. Like you said, when was the last time you've been sober? Shit, all the fucking time.
Exactly.
Like, you know,
I want you guys to keep that in mind. Once again, this is this podcast is about addiction and addictive personalities. And we just kind of giving some examples of, to be mindful of that. Once again, you know, to be mindful of what you're doing, and hey, be careful playing with that clicker in your brain. If you need to, you need to change your mood, alter your moods. You know, you're getting home from work, you have your glass of wine every night. Well, don't let that turn you into an alcoholic. If you're going to a party, hey, can you go to a party and have a good time without having to do drugs? I mean, ask yourself these questions. That's at least a gauge of where you're going with yourself. You know what I mean? So
stay on par with who you hanging around with. Because I have friends that get drunk, and it's like, bro, you the only person getting drunk like that. Like, why are you going to a different level than where everybody else is going to? Like, you got to keep everything on par. Like, keep pace with your company, man. Don't outpace
exactly.
You know?
Everything in moderation. Everything in moderation. I guess that's basically it. Everything in moderation. So with that, man, we really appreciate you for joining us again on this AM Dynasty, the podcast, with your hosts, me, Koo, and Big Cuz. So, you know, once again, this podcast is going to be called Addiction and Addictive Personalities. I want you guys to be mindful of that. Check yourself. Look out for yourself. Look out for your family and how you're living. With that, anything else you want to say, big cuz, as we wrap it up?
No. Put family and yourself first. That's it. Take care of yourself. Self-care, man, is important.
With that, we will see you on the next one. Thanks for joining us, guys, on AM Dynasty, the podcast.
Until next time.
Peace.